I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. You go right, you go
left, you go left, you go left. That's right. It's time for Touché here on The Download, our weekly look at national politics with Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling. Chris Roebling still out of the country, so Chris Veronis is in. You know, hey, this is how I forgot the player. Who's the Yankee player who didn't show up and then the other Yankee player? Oh, forget it.
Boy, you delivered on that one. <It's>,
we don't, you know that Yankees. Old song.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That one New York Yankee who I think there was another New York. Anyways, Babe Ruth. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure Roebling's listening. Yeah, right. You know, right
they all
now
look good
going
in pinstripes.
Like,
they all do. Dave Lundy, Chris Veronis, good to see you guys. All right, so let's get to it tonight. Why don't we? I mean, I guess we start with the protests here in Chicago and around the country. Not my President's Day. Why don't we start there? This is starting to become a regular thing. We've seen 5 days straight of protests in New York City about Donald Trump. Essentially everything about Donald Trump. Today, a big showing, but not like we saw on the Women's Day that was back in January. What do you think of the protests today, and what are they saying about Donald Trump and the country?
You know, I have to support the protests today because my son was featured on television in one of them and was interviewed for them. So I naturally support the protests. That said, I think that the protests... I think they're effective. I think that what they're doing with the town hall meetings is freaking the heck out of the Republicans. They're like, well, what do you mean? I thought we only got to do this with Tea Partiers to Democrats. You're doing it to us. We don't understand. So I think it's great. But I think you need to have a message. And I think you need to have a clear message and you need to have a focus. And so, hey, I have participated in protests over the Muslim ban. I participated in protests out at O'Hare. But, you know, at a certain point, you have to really focus it out. And I think now is that time.
Chris, go ahead.
Well, I support the First Amendment right to speech and assembly, even though the hard left would deny that at places like Berkeley.
It was one incident.
Of course, that's another story.
Roebling would be proud.
No problem if they want to get together. You talked about message, and I think that is important. You can't have a legitimate opposition movement that condemns people who say, you don't believe Barack Obama is our president, and then does the same for Trump. I mean, there's a little inconsistency here. And so again, I know it hurts. I know it stings. I know it's unfair. But if there's anything that's going to – if you want a viable political movement, you have to step up and lead by example. That's it.
Yeah.
I have to say – notwithstanding the fact that my son and wife and other right. son, Max, also protested, just wasn't on television because he's six. I'm actually not a fan of the concept of not my president. He is my president. He's your president. He's our president.
Thank you, Dave.
He's all our presidents. And I've said that consistently.
And you could still oppose him.
Yes, it does sting. And yes, I have trouble saying the words president,
right.
You know, that one. But he's our president. So mm-hmm. I think that was my nice way of saying we really need to be focused on a key
message.
Well,
it sounds to me, and you know, I'll stick up for the protesters. I wasn't out there. I have no family members that were out there today. But I will say that, you know, I think that they're just theming them. They'll have one coming up on tax day that's about tax returns. Today was a play on the president. I don't know if it's necessarily trying to delegitimize this president. I think they're saying that this is not how we want our country to go, especially when it comes to what we've seen in the first month of President Trump.
Well, certainly Donald Trump is going to interpret it that way, that the slightest bit of criticism delegitimizes him, and he's going to erupt. I mean, we know that. But at the same time, if you talk to the average liberal, Democrat, anti-Trumper, they reject him outright. Under the basis that bullies, mean people should not get elected, should not be president, which is a fair point of view. But I'm just saying, Dave, and I think you could agree with this, the average anti-Trumper outright rejects him. Well, there's no room for compromise.
I mean, look, I outright reject him because pretty much I disagree with 98% of what he's done so far.
And yet,
with
you say he's still your president.
Well, he is.
Yeah.
Here's the concept that General Flynn didn't understand, and neither does Donald Trump. We have one president at a time. At this time, it's Donald Trump. We are. By the way, today, happy 148th day. We're 148th through Donald Trump's term. But look, I can reject him, but still say he's my president. I mean, he just is. So, but look, I fully support the protest, and I think that we should keep protesting specific things. I think we should protest actions. We should protest his attacks on Sweden. No, I'm kidding. Frankly, one thing, it's not a protest issue, but one thing I found extremely disturbing out of the press conference last week, and I realize it's a big area to choose mm-hmm. from, but was the way he treated the Jewish reporter who was asking a question about rising anti-Semitism. Today alone, there were 11 bomb threats called into JCC, Jewish community centers around the country. There have been more than 60 since he was inaugurated. There were anti-Semitic acts at the Chicago Loop Synagogue, at the Illinois Holocaust Museum. It's happening all around the country in ways I, as a Jew, have never seen in my life. And it's terrifying. And Donald Trump obviously misunderstood the question.
Do you pin that on Donald Trump? Do you pin it on? Yeah. I mean, that's the question. Is it a rising tide that if Barack Obama was still president, it would be Donald Trump?
No, look, Donald Trump and that entire campaign gave license to what is happening now. It encouraged it. It promoted it. It fomented it. And bringing Steve Bannon, the guy who gave the platform to the white supremacists and the anti-Semites and the neo-Nazis, into the White House and giving him the top security position is exactly the kind of thing that has encouraged. That's why David Duke keeps talking about how awesome Donald Trump is.
Breitbart himself, before he died, was Jewish. The editor of Breitbart is Jewish. The senior editor of Breitbart is Jewish. You cannot draw a dotted line between anti-Semitism, these attacks that you're talking about in the JCCs, and Donald Trump. But Donald Trump should use his moral authority to the extent that he understands it or knows how to use it.
You'd like to see him at least come out, or at least in the situation with the press conference.
It's appropriate for Donald Trump to say any violence targeted at any group of people is wrong.
I agree with you, actually, that you can't draw a dotted line. I can draw a straight line with a thick marker. This is not an accident.
Good soundbite.
This is direct.
I think that was spontaneous.
He's been waiting for it. He's been holding on for a while.
It was very good.
In studio with me, Dave Lundy, Chris Varonis. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We got much more to talk about. I'd love to talk about Sweden, what happened this weekend in Florida. Also, I'm interested in how you guys perceive, we haven't really talked about the ratcheting up of the enemy of the people, the media. We've seen this over the weekend, but between the time we talked last week, Chris, it's even gotten more. So we'll talk a little bit about, even today, as he doubled down on the idea that other presidents hated the media as well. It just seems to be, we'll sort of dissect what he's talking about and if he's got a point. Dave Lundy, Chris Varonis, my guests. Touche! Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
Touche. Chris Varonis, Dave Lundy in studio tonight. We're talking about national politics. The week that was pretty tame day yesterday when it came to, Face the Nation and other interviews like that. Rance Priebus. Was a Reince. Mr. Priebus talked a little bit about, we should stop giggling or not taking what Donald Trump says seriously. He is serious about the press. The press is the enemy. They need to be put in check. Okay, let's talk about this because this was all on Friday night. I believe Friday night is when we got the tweet that the failing New York Times and all of the news are the enemy of the people. What's the takeaway on this? Because I read an article this weekend, I think it was Salon or Slater, one of them saying, this is the first time a Western leader in any form has ever uttered the words enemy of the people. So, I mean, there is some precedent involved in what is happening.
For me, as a Republican and a conservative, this is a bridge too far. I think Trump eschews a media that is decidedly liberal, that's got an axe to grind for him, he excused that with just outright opposition to America and the American idea. Trump's never one to make a modest proposal or just a moderate attack. I mean, he's got to take it to 11.
Right.
We know that. That's his style. And yet we've got three co-equal branches of government. I think this is just a conversation that Trump's inner monologue is having with the rest of the country. That's what it is. I guess I don't like it. I think he should moderate this kind of language. At the end of the day, I just see this as red meat for his base.
Yeah, it is red meat for his base. But when it's one thing when you're candidate Trump. It's another thing when you're the president of the United States. And I'm not saying the president can't attack the media. Of course he can. Presidents always have. But even Richard Nixon, who said the press was an enemy, he said it privately to one of his aides. It was recorded on a tape. And it was an enemy of the administration. It wasn't an enemy of the people. The First Amendment is the First Amendment for a reason. And tons of Republicans over the weekend were just like, whoa.
Does it hurt him when he says this? Are we going to get to a point where there will be one or two tweets where you're like, oh, that hurt him?
Trump right now is on the shot clock, and he knows it. And he's going to be judged by his policy achievements. The clock's ticking right now, and the base is watching, and they're willing to give him a pass on almost everything. So that's one thing. That's sort of the big overhang that's above Trump right now. The other is, I think this kind of rhetorical line's wearing thin. I think people are going to get fed up with it. If we run into a correction, a downturn, if there's some failures,
something happens, right?
It's going to wear thin. And then when Trump takes that inevitable fall, then we'll see who he is.
Yeah, and the concern, though, on this media issue is that there are a lot of crazy people out there with guns. There are crazy people without guns, but there are a lot of crazy people in America with guns. And, you know, reporters don't have protection. They don't have the Secret Service around them. You know, all it's going to take is one crazy guy or one crazy woman with a gun attacking a reporter and killing a reporter. I mean, look, reporters die every year in around the world trying to do their jobs. Certainly if you're Russian, a lot of them die through polonium poisoning by Donald Trump's best friend, Vladimir Putin. But I think this can become very serious. Yeah. I agree with you. He will be judged based on his accomplishments. It is only 1/48th through his term. God willing, his only term. But, you know, look, he's already reneged on a bunch of things. We'll see if he can deliver.
Yeah, he's achieved a lot of things, too.
Let me ask you about Sweden. Without the joke of nothing happened last night. And he seemed to make a mistake by saying last night. That seems to be what's tripped him up here. But his point being that the media is not reporting on these stories. The Swedish police, liberal police forces, is not reporting and is doing what they can to cover it up to make it seem like Sweden is having a good experience with Muslim refugees or refugees from Syria. I mean, is there any sort of logic to be pulled from the idea of mentioning Sweden in this context?
There is logic, and here's what it is. The logic is that Donald Trump does not listen to his intelligence advisors. He watches Fox News, and I'm not trying to be facetious. That is actually what happened. He watched a Fox News report the night before on television. It was a Fox News report. It was a Fox News report based upon, and this is information provided by our friend Kitty Kurth. It was based upon one crazy guy created a video. He interviewed Swedish police, but he mixed and matched the questions and the answers.
So
they all have rejected it.
Sort of like
it.
One of these.
They've all said
pieces,
it hasn't happened.
Yeah,
and the crime rate in Sweden hasn't actually gone up.
But here's my question. My question about Donald Trump and Sweden and the media is for a guy who rails against fake news and calls out the media at every turn for being fake, that uses the same media he talks about to be his rallying cry to help him, to essentially prop him up. I mean, you can find the contradictions in there. Are the American people, and I hate to use that phrase because now it's a Donald Trump phrase, but are people getting savvy to that where they're like, how could you on one hand call everybody fake and on the next hand be like, I saw this story, I want to tell you all about it?
I don't know if they're getting savvy to it so much as they are, what the hell are we talking about? You know, as a wise man once said, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Who's the fool? The fool or the fool that follows? I mean, for Donald Trump, let's face it, in his style of ranting word salad, incomprehensible speech,
yeah.
Forms his opinion on the last guy he talks to, many people say. For him to make some off-the-cuff comment that has no basis at a rally, and all of a sudden CNN's running 24-hour coverage of what he said.
Well, Dave, respond on that.
It's ridiculous.
Should it just be overlooked? Is it just we should now know he has mouth diarrhea? Is that the...
Okay, but...
And it's not to let Trump off the hook either.
No, okay. I hear you, but we were told that we took Donald Trump's words too seriously during the campaign, that he wasn't really going to do all these things that he said he was going to do. He wasn't really going to launch a Muslim ban. He wasn't really going to build the wall. He wasn't going to do all these things. Well, guess what?
Well, he said something stupid.
No. I mean,
that's it.
He's doing everything he said. I will give the Donald Trump people that. He's absolutely trying to do the things that he claimed he was going to do. So how are we supposed to know which Trump we're supposed to take seriously and literally, and which ones we're not?
Well,
I think that when a guy gets up to the podium and says the leaks are real but the news is fake, I'm like, there's a logical inconsistency.
Dave, God bless you. Good points. I agree. I just have to say the media catastrophizing is just ridiculous.
Okay, so let me bring this
back. It's out there. It's
real. There seems to be some thought, and Bill Maher has talked about it this week and others, that this is all diversionary, that Sweden and everything that he does is he's a little bit more manipulator-in-chief. He's not as dumb as we think he is. And this is a diversionary tactic to what's happening with Russia. And as the panel and Bill Maher said, the worst presidential scandal of all time. The idea that perhaps a foreign entity helped elect a person to the office of president. Is that true? I mean, is there some truth in the fact that this is a bigger scandal than sort of the Trump administration wants you to believe?
Well, yes, clearly, because they keep saying Russia. He said again at that press conference, Russia is fake news. No, Russia is not fake news. The subpoenas that are going to go out are not fake. The FBI investigations are not fake. Something seriously happened here, and we have to get to the bottom of it. We know Flynn lied. We are going to get to the bottom of it.
It's happening.
My view of this, though, is that, yes, some of these things are distractions, but what's to be distracted from? The investigators have to do their investigating. It's going to take some time. The news media is going to come out every day with stories, and that will happen over time. So I can actually walk and chew gum at the same time. I can pay attention to the dysfunction of a White House that lost a series of national security advisors until they finally hit on the good guy. They actually apparently have hit on a guy who, by all press reports, this is going to be really interesting. I give him 6 months, because the one thing General McMaster's is reported to say is he does not tolerate big egos well, and he calls them out.
Well, you wrote a book condemning political big egos.
Right. This should be interesting.
Yeah, it should be. It should be. Well, so at moments like this, and I do think the Russian thing is real and it's not a ruse, I thank my lucky stars for the dead white men who founded this country. Co-equal branches. What you're seeing congressional Republicans leading this investigation that's already started.
Mm-hmm.
You're also seeing congressional Republicans putting some space between them and Trump. You know, you've got John Cronin in Texas. You've got Paul Ryan, who are going to do a border tour, and they're going to come out with their own insights, their own conclusions on what's happening across the border. So I'm just saying, Davey, I mean, you can go after Trump all you want. He's one of three branches of government.
Yes, and with all due respect, I will believe the investigations will be real when we see their output. In the meantime, I know what people like Rand Paul are saying, which is that investigations are not productive exercises, especially when you're investigating your own party. Thank you for having a Washington gaffe. You admit that really you just don't want to investigate Republicans.
You also have John McCain out there. You also have
John McCain voted with the president. 94% of the time, Lindsey Graham 100% of the time. What I'm saying is these are fake critics. They haven't actually done anything real. And I will believe it when I see it.
Fake commentary.
I like it. Everyone's talking fake news. Touché. I like fake critics. Fake commentary and fake critics. Dave Lundy and Chris Varonis, my guests tonight. Touché every Monday night here on The Download. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Thank you.